Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today at 1-800-795-9565. Alan Bestwick, who will be calling the Indianapolis 500 on ABC Sunday, will be our guest at 4:06 today. And Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management on the business of sports, at 4:35 today. Tomorrow, John Cross will join us to talk about the Phillies. Plenty going on in the show. It's great to have all of you on board with us again here today. Sean, good to see you over there today.
Great to have you, sir, finally with us on the other side of the glass. Appreciate it.
And beautiful drive-in. Valley looks great. Of course, I was just here 3 weeks ago for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, where we had a great time with that. Stopped over, did say hi to the suit. It's kind of like a Costanza moment over there.
Mm-hmm.
I go over there, you know, you keep the door just ajar and act like you're angry.
Right.
So if you act like you're angry, nobody wants to bother you. And if the door's slightly ajar, it's like, must be busy. He's got it perfected, all right? And, of course, you know I don't care.
You're just observing.
Just observing,
yeah.
Right? And after having it explained to me, I have no idea what he does. I went, okay.
So your hunch became confirmed.
He's got a title. He's got a nameplate. At least he had a nameplate. And we're just rolling along here. So it's good to see Sarah. It's great to see Matt. I was explaining to Matt that on the opening night of football season, check the bag for equipment, you know, because I see him taking great strides toward the Shikellamy job. I really do. You know, and Sarah I've worked with before.
That's right. Yeah, she was dabbling in TV for a while before coming back here to Central PA to the Valley.
She did a terrific job on WHVL-TV. And I had the privilege of working with her for a couple of years. And, of course, it was great when the first time I heard her on the air, I thought, hey, great. You know,
well, it's funny. You guys reconnected in the hallway by the newsroom about a minute or two ago, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, you know what's missing in this reunion is that's all we need is Carrie Stroh to walk in the door. A little slice of Sunbury coming back home there, too.
Exactly right. Exactly. And for those who don't know, he is the producer of the show that I do on WHVL for about Penn State football. It is one of the slower times of the year, and I think what's made this time of the year appear slower than usual is that we have not had compelling stories in the playoffs. I mean, last night, Golden State just toys with San Antonio, and they're done. They've won 12 in a row in the playoffs. They went in a four-game sweep. What's exciting about that? And the games aren't close. That's why when you look at the Celtics miraculously winning Game 3 in Cleveland, it at least gave it some spark of life. The NBA has had no spark of life during the last 6 weeks. None. It's been a foregone conclusion with everybody. Hey, look, let's get to June 1st. And June 1st is, by the way, the beginning of the NBA Finals. And we haven't had any spark. There's been nothing. I mean, you look out and you just feel like you're watching, even when other series were being played, like Washington and the Celtics. I would think you'd have to be a Wizards fan or a Celtics fan to really be engaged in Game 7, maybe a Cavaliers fan just to see who you're going to play. But you didn't feel like the winner of that series was going to go on and beat Cleveland. You just didn't get that feeling. Well, in the Stanley Cup, the odd thing is that Nashville was the 16 seed overall, and they won. And their crowd is incredible, loud, decibel levels off the chart. I've had people down there tell me they think the Predators might be actually more popular than the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. That's interesting, especially in football country.
And I wouldn't be surprised if a few Titans players, including the starting quarterback Mariota, has been to a few games.
Sure. And let's face it, the Grammy Award winner. It doesn't hurt that her husband's the captain, Carrie Underwood.
And that's the other startling thing, too. I mean, Fisher's out, and their top player has been out at least the last two games. That just makes their story even more incredible. Plus, they haven't even been a franchise less than 20 years.
Yeah, 18 years now is their 18th season. But is it a story that draws people to the table? I mean, Nashville and Anaheim. I mean, I'm a hockey fan, so I'm watching parts of it along the way. And I watched a good chunk of last night's game. But does it have any appeal beyond the diehard and the people in the two cities? And that's why I feel NBC probably is rooting very hard internally at 30 Rock that the Penguins win tonight, or at least win the series, because they need to have something that gets the casual fan engaged. In the NBA, there's nothing getting the casual fan engaged right now. Now, if the Warriors play the Cavaliers, okay, Act 3, you're going to have a lot of people that are casual fans get really engaged, and the ratings are going to be really good. The star power of it, LeBron, Curry, Durant, then the next level, Irving, Love, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. Get something, you know, that's good theater.
And even with the Cavaliers, the acquisition of Kyle Korver.
Right, huge. But again, he's not Klay Thompson. He's that complimentary guy that makes a big difference.
Right, there was a while there they needed another long ball shooter in there.
Yeah, I mean, like Sean Livingston is a great complimentary player for Golden State. But up until this point, you feel like you've been biding time in the NBA to get to the series. And you've just been killing time to get there. And as you're killing time, oh, by the way, we're playing games. In the Stanley Cup, Pittsburgh, obviously, people know who Crosby is. I think there's a section that kind of knows who Malkin is. There is nobody outside of Nashville, unless you're a diehard, that knows who Pecorini is. But it's a loud arena. They've got cool uniforms, and
I think one individual story people, hockey fans in general, are kind of keeping their eyes on is P.K. Subban. I mean, he had such a great following in Montreal, but now with him in the United States for the first time and playing with a different team, he wants to carve his own niche. And he said, yes, I was with a team and a franchise with all I had to do is look up at the rafters and look at all the championships that the Canadiens won all those decades, you know, back in the 70s and 80s. And hey, now I can be a true part of history and be a part of the first ever championship for the Preds.
Well, is it good for the NHL that they've got a Southern team in there? Now, it's not the first time it's ever happened. Tampa Bay's won the Stanley Cup. Carolina's won the Stanley Cup. Dallas has won the Stanley Cup. But is it good at this point that you have a Southern-based team in there? Maybe it is. But if Nashville's playing Ottawa, if Ottawa somehow wins the next two games, okay, they are not going to be doing cartwheels at 30 Rock. They need Pittsburgh to win because they need to attract the casual fan. And the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup haven't attracted the casual fan. Now, I know we have Alan Bestwood coming up in the next half hour, but that's part of the problem that Indianapolis has. The era of Mario Andretti, A.J. Foyt, Michael Andretti, Bobby Rahal, that era is long gone. I mean, can anybody name last year's winner? He was a rookie. Can anybody name him? Who the defending champion of the Indianapolis 500 is? Like, who's your favorite driver? you know, NASCAR, despite the fact that it's seen ratings drop, and NASCAR's ratings have been steadily falling back. But people still know who Dale Earnhardt Jr. is. I think they have a pretty good handle on Jimmy Johnson, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin. They've done a good job in NASCAR of creating, quote, some household names. Maybe not be a deep group. I mean, Danica Patrick doesn't win, but the casual people know who she is. So they've done that. Indianapolis doesn't have that. I mean, they have some great drivers in there. In fact, the former Formula One champ, who's won Formula One a couple of times, is in the race and is intriguing. But Ed Carpenter, right? If I throw out the name Ed Carpenter to a group, they want to know if they can come over and stain the deck later in the week. He does deck work, right? No.
No?
Oh, no, he's a race car driver. What? Oh. I thought he stained decks.
did you hire him to stain your deck?
No. No.
Another carpenter.
Somebody else. Look, in a quick sidetrack on that, I've done a lot around, you know, I've taken care of the driveway. I've painted door trims. I've put up outdoor lights. Taking care of the driveway, the whole thing, right? Caulked around windows and doors and things like that. I kept looking at the deck, and they kept saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. We will hire somebody. So you know what I did? I found an unemployed digital media person. And
who's great with a brush.
I'm expecting somebody to fly through the door any second now.
No, he already texted me.
What did he text?
All it says is Alexander Rossi. So I don't know if that guy stains decks or does he stain decks?
He's the defending champion of the Indianapolis 500. Won it as a rookie.
Yeah.
And to his credit, did nothing to advance the sport. All right. So, but he won. It's not easy to win. He won. But if we were to poll 50 people, I think we'd go 0-50.
Yeah.
Right, and that's not being cruel or anything. I just don't think anybody knows who he is. Now, our guest, Alan Bestwick, knows all about him. But, there's another text from him?
Yes. Fernando Alonso, the F1 guy. Formula One guy.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does he want to come in and do the show?
Well, I've got an hour and 40 to go.
I mean,
but we're booked solid next hour, so.
I mean,
I did that on purpose because I knew you were going to be here.
Yeah. I can go out and get a quick bite to eat. He can do the next 45 minutes. I mean, obviously. Must not be making sales calls.
He's now fighting the 320 fade.
You know what the problem is? Yeah. I think the 320 fade starts for him at 3:20 a.m. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
102 years in business is spectacular for you. Here's why. During the month of May, Sunbury Motors Ford is going to sell 102 new Fords by discounting every new Ford to the lowest price possible. Plus, give you more for your trade. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 39 new Escapes starting at $19,380. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from new F-150s starting at $24,919. Sunbury Motors has 115 new Fords to choose from. See why the F-150 has been America's best-selling truck for 40 consecutive years.
One is sold every 43 seconds.
SMC is where you want to be for 0% financing for up to 60 months on Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, and 0% for 72 months on Focuses and Fusions. Now is the time to take advantage of Sunbury Motors' goal to sell 102 new Fords in May. SMC's goal is your gain. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 102 years.
We'll be right back.
We'll have Alan Beswick in the next hour, and also in the next hour, we will have Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management and the business of sports. Did you see that the Olympic medals are all falling apart? They're all breaking and rusting.
Physically.
Yes, physically.
Literally.
Fabulous event they put on. How many billions do they get stealing money from people? All right, so let's fleece another city.
So that they take some criminals off the street in Rio to help create and build the medals or something? And who knows?
Well, it could be worse. You'd be doing license plates that say live free or die. All right, so, oh, I'm sorry. Obviously, the serious situation that was the tragedy, sickening, what happened last night. And to take it a step further, you know, Matt Cotrillo did a story on, they're looking at events in our area here about what to do with security. And all those times that you go through security at Beaver Stadium, for example, I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so that you can go in and have a quote, carefree experience. It's awfully tough now. Because they're looking, and just because we're in central Pennsylvania doesn't mean it can't happen. I mean, if you're going to say if something's going to happen in England, where do you think it's going to happen? London.
Wembley?
Yeah, or London, anywhere in London. I mean, right. They went through and did the with the tube in 2007 and trains and things like that. I mean, it's like, so. I remember there was a meeting last week for the State College Spikes. And we're going through everything with the State College Spikes. And they started talking about what if something happens. And the funny thing is that years ago you would have been, yeah, okay, yeah, you know, we're a State College baseball team. All right. But you have to now take all of that seriously. You just don't know. It happened last night, and it was obviously it's very fresh for everybody. But yeah, sporting events are certainly going to be on any list that you have to go through rigorous security. I remember the only time before 9/11 I ever went through rigorous security for a game was a game with at Notre Dame when then Vice President George H.W. Bush was sitting in the booth next to us. The only time. Yeah. And like an idiot, instead of keeping my bag on the bus, I brought it into the booth. So that had to be inspected. They brought dogs into the booth and everything like that. But you had to do it. And it's something that you can't... Unfortunately, it's something where no matter what you're doing, any kind of gathering, you're going to have to do it now. Any kind of gathering, you're going to have to take into account. You can't ever say it is just, oh, it, you know, look, this is just, and pick an event. And, you know, for you, the fan, I give the fans a lot of credit because I think the fans show incredible patience and understanding as to why they're going through security. They do a great job with it. Just something to think about after last night because, you know, because it may have been a concert, but it was in an arena last night, 21,000-seat arena. Arena, it's about the same size as maybe the United Center in Chicago. Actually, a little bit bigger than Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I mean, the big, credo in entertainment is the show must go on. But, you know, today wouldn't hurt to, maybe take off for a night or two, just to put the puts things in perspective. But if you do that, well, the terrorists win.
Well, Ariana Grande did cancel her tour.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously they'll make up for it at some other point. But yeah, you see something like that, and the reason that it comes to a point in this show is because you, the fans, go to events. You, the fans, go to games, and obviously to arenas. So everyone, of course, has to react accordingly. And again, I think the fans have been great over the years of completely understanding what's going on. All right. Next half hour, more open talk. Then Alan Beswick, who will be calling the Indianapolis 500 probably for the final time. And Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. John Kruk on the show tomorrow. Thursday show on digital media and where it's going. Do we have a show Thursday?
Oh, that's right. The Phillies are on.
Perfect.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so people wonder, what do we talk about during the break? And it was brought up about Roger Moore passing away today at the age of 89. So naturally, the topic of who was the best Bond came up. And mercifully, that conversation's over. We're back to the show. So, this day in sports history, 1876, Boston's Joe Borden pitched the first no-hitter in the history of the National League. 1922, Gene Tunney was defeated by Harry Greb. Why is that significant? It's the only professional boxing defeat Tunney suffered. Remember, of course, he beat Jack Dempsey. 1926, Hack Wilson became the first player to hit a home run off the Wrigley Field scoreboard. Wilson in 1 year hit 56 home runs, and he drove in what is still a record, 190 runs in a year. 1948, Joe DiMaggio hit three consecutive home runs. 1962, the NBA announced the transfer of the Philadelphia Warriors to San Francisco, where they became the San Francisco Warriors. They're now the Golden State Warriors playing in Oakland. But they will go back to San Francisco. They're building an arena in San Francisco, but I think they're going to maintain that they are the Golden State Warriors. 1963, NBC purchased the AFL championship game rights for $926,000. Right now, that is equivalent to 3 minutes of a game in terms of the purchase price. 1978, the American League approved the transfer of Tom Yawkey's estate to Gene Yawkey to own the Red Sox for $15 million. In 1999, Owen Hart died when he fell from 90 feet while being lowered at a what it was then the WWF, now the WWE wrestling ring. He was only 33 years old at the time. So who is your favorite Bond?
I've never really watched that many James Bond movies over the years.
Oh, no wonder you appear as bored as I did during the conversation. I mean, you got to give us both credit. Were we ever polite or what?
We were.
Now, it did allow me to rest my voice during the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, you were staring at the floor, looking at all the Lawrence Awards on the wall.
I think it goes between Roger Moore and Sean Connery. But then again, you got Daniel Craig, who's done a really great job on the last few.
Daniel Craig was referred to as a dark Bond.
Yes.
By the digital media expert.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we feel in sales that digital media is dark. So that really matches up.
Well, when you talk about best Bonds, the one guy who's not in any type of conversation there today would be Pierce Brosnan, especially when the announcement came out of Hollywood last week that there's going to be a Mamma Mia 2. Yes, there's going to be a Mamma Mia 2, when you thought one was enough.
So all the unanswered questions from Mamma Mia 1.
I thought they were all answered.
Will now be answered in Mamma Mia 2. I had really wondered.
I could have sworn when Meryl Streep's character and Pierce Brosnan's character got married at the end, I thought that was it.
I have to admit, I've never seen it. I didn't even know she was in it. I missed out on that one completely. But Roger Moore passed away today at the age of 89. So, yes, it did bring up the topic of who is the best Bond, which then absolutely killed 5 minutes of time.
Well, that could be a topic of discussion when movie Mike comes in for Sunrise later this week.
I'm sitting in the Lawrence chair.
You are.
I just want to tell you, I have not felt this powerful in years.
Since the last time last year, you were sitting in that very chair.
No, you wouldn't allow me to. I had to bring another chair over to the spot. the suit's filming. I mean, are you actually sending this out to clients?
No, I'm actually taking stills.
Oh, okay.
Always taking still shots. There you go.
Would you like this to be Facebook Live?
No, I really don't. No.
I'd be more than happy.
Facebook, Instagram. You know, and not only that, having your voice deep in the background, best you've sounded. So,
snap face, insta chat,
insta chat, snap face. What was it? Bill O'Brien always referred to it as Spacebook. Now, I have a Facebook page that I never post on, ever.
That's up to us,
right?
And your Twitter.
And Twitter, which I never post on.
Well, I love it when I get messages from people and they think they're talking to you.
I understand that.
Yeah.
No, look, I understand that. Just it's not.
Well, we were trying to connect with Michael Robinson last month before Blue White, and then I get a message from M. Rob that he thought I was talking to you.
Oh, okay.
I guess he was trying to connect with you last month at the weekend. It must not have panned out, but
it did not pan out.
Yeah.
I might see him. They're doing another for football job fair. And, you know, LeVar Arrington last year flew in from Los Angeles to do the job fair last year for the football team. I mean, really, I thought that was, that told me so much about him. Now, LeVar does not yet have his degree from Penn State. He is not that many credits away. Now, remember, he left a year early. He's not that many credits away, and I spent a chunk of the time pep-talking him.
Did he take your class?
No, he left here in 1999. I didn't start teaching until 2004.
Okay.
And I said to him, I spent time pep-talking him. About, look, it'll be one of the best things you ever did. It's something that it'll mean something to you and your family the rest of your life. You do it. Now, I think he wants to do it. I mean, I know he wants to. He told me he did. I mean, he has become one of the more thoughtful guys and really supportive guys of this whole thing that I've been around. And I think people would be impressed they had a chance to sit down and talk with.
Do I think of is Tom? But I think it's Tom Mahaly. You know, he's standing there in the tunnel. When I think of Tom, I think of him when he's hugging Joe in the tunnel, right, as he's got his cap and gown on and in the stadium. They're taking photos for posterity.
Joe Paterno, when Tom Mahaly got there, and Tom's hair was out all over the place, okay? But remember, he grew up in Liberia, went through an awful situation there with the civil war going on in Liberia. I think Taylor was the name of the strong man in Liberia. And his father was able to get out, but his mother couldn't. And he got him to New Jersey, and then he got into football. And so Joe Paterno got up in front of the team and explained what the rule was when it came to hair length and facial hair. All right? And he explained that Tamba was from a different culture growing up in Liberia. And the rule did, you know, that there'd be more leniency for him just because of where he grew up and his background. All right? Next day he came in, Tom had his haircut. Facial hair, gone. It's the way he is. It's the kind of guy he is. And great guy. But, yeah. So. But yeah, LeVar came in from Los Angeles for this last. It was great, great to see him. In fact, he and I, our booths were right next to each other when we did this thing last year. Some odd reason the players all wanted to talk to him. Yeah, second overall pick in the draft, 8 years in the league, yeah. And does a great job in NFL Network. He's very good on NFL Network. So is Mike.
Oh, Mike's terrific.
Oh, Mike's really good.
Yeah, especially the early Sunday morning spot that he has with Melissa and Sean O'Hara and Coach Billick. Oh, they're great.
Alan Zamitis says Mike will text him and say, "Hey, I'm on this morning." You know, he says, "Check it out." Alan's like, "It's 6 in the morning. What are you doing?" I'll act like I watched. Yeah, hey, great. Alan's another one of the great guys coaching around here, obviously.
Susquehanna.
He's one of the great guys. Alan Tomitas. Can't say enough good things about him. It's something I was thinking about the other night. Over the years, the number of people that I've met through sports, I don't care if it's football, basketball, that in the end, it has nothing to do with what plays they made, what contribution they made, whatever, but they just were good people. And you feel fortunate that you've been around so many of them. Now we can point out names that everybody knows, but there are other people that fall into the category as well. There was a walk-on, Joe Tortorello, right? Getting married, wore number 70, was a walk-on. Well, Tort's one of the nicest guys on the planet, and I see his father all the time at Wegmans and State College. Right? And he's always giving me updates about how he's doing, and you know, he says, "Oh, he always wants me to tell you hi and so forth." Now, he said that's somebody nobody would know. Nobody would know who he is. But he busted his backside and is a great guy. Right? In fact, Matt Stankavich is getting married, I think, this summer, and Tort's going to be in his wedding, I think. So, I mean, just, you know, there's a lot of bond that happens over time. Let's see. Next half hour, Alan Bestwick, who even he forgot Alexander Rossi won the 500 last year until they handed him a card.
True.
Not even the team owner knows he won. I mean, the team owner's like, what? He did what?
I don't know. Alan may surprise you. He probably knows the type of milk that he drank last year after winning the race.
Oh, Alan knows all.
You bet.
No. I'm kidding around because America's like, Alexander Rossi? Does he make wine?
Jack's got a bottle.
It's called Martini and Rossi.
Asti Spumante.
Yes.
Those commercials you'd see every Christmas.
Oh, I know. And it's not like this show's never been done before by certain people in your chair on Asti Spumante. His exact quote was, it got me through certain shows.
I thought he was more of a cold duck kind of guy.
Cold duck?
Cold duck.
I haven't heard anybody mention that in decades. Cold duck. They still make cold duck?
You got cured off the wild turkey.
I went back to the digital media office. They had this stuff from Boone's Farm. After a while, doesn't it taste like cardboard? All right.
That's the best $4 bottle of wine you could get. That's good stuff. It's very underrated.
It's in a box.
True. There's a lot of Boone's Farm that was consumed at my younger brother-in-law's wedding. It's a good time.
Just thinking about it makes me want to consume it. I missed that one, didn't I?
What's that?
I missed his wedding.
Yeah, that was before. That was late 90s.
Good.
Yes, you did.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Alan Bestwick, Tony Knopp next hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, welcome back to the show. Alan Bestwick next half hour to talk about the Indianapolis 500. Tony Knopp, final half hour talking about the business of sports. John Kruk on the show tomorrow. Phillies take over the time spot on Thursday, and then we're back on Friday with the newly married member of the group.
So. Yeah, your brother sent me a picture from last Saturday. Lovely picture with he and his new bride.
Yes, saw that. Very nice. But he'll be on Friday. We'll have a good time heading into the weekend, a Memorial Day weekend. We will not be here Memorial Day either. Sean's over there. Of course, I'll work. Sean's like, I got a barbecue. I got this. I'm like, okay, fine.
No, actually, I will be working on Monday.
You're working Monday?
I will be working. It's probably the first Memorial Day I'll be working in quite a long time. I'll be doing a broadcast, on-location broadcast for 94KX on Monday.
Oh,
so I'll be a little busy.
Where are you going to be?
I will be in Lewisburg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does Lewisburg know?
Now they do. Cat's out of the bag. By the way, our great friend of the show, Doug Byerly, was on our Facebook page, and he was talking. He heard our LeVar Arrington conversation. Check into Penn State World Campus. Finish the degree.
I know. That's why I told him. I said, you can do this. They did. Let's see. I'm trying to think. It was the blue-white game Friday. John Gilmore ran it. And that deal with communications. And LeVar flew in for that, too. And anytime he's asked to do something at Penn State, he comes back and does it. It's not a short trip. The reason I know about it is that they asked me to record the intros for it. They actually wanted me to do it live, but it was during the show, so I recorded it. But every time he's asked to do something, he does it. And I've always given him a lot of credit. He's thrown his heart and soul into the place.
Well, every year I DVR the blue-white game, and I'll watch it like the next day or a couple days later after the game. And you always expect to see him on the sidelines,
right.
Catch him for a few minutes on BTN.
Oh, the first year James Franklin was there, they did an event, I want to say it may have been in the Jordan Center. It was a recruiting day event. And LeVar flew in from Los Angeles to be the MC for it. I think he came in from D.C. for that one. He had not taken the Los Angeles job yet.
That's right. So he was doing some sports talk radio down in D.C.
WJFK, the FM station down there. And he had his own show down there. And he took time to come up to do that on that Wednesday in February with James Franklin in the Jordan Center to talk about the recruits that were signed by Penn State. So he's thrown himself into making sure that he's back all the time. And I've always given him a lot. There's a lot of guys that have also, Kajana Carter's around a lot. O.J. McDuffie gets back as often as he can. There's a long list of guys that get back as often as they can that I get a chance to see. Matt Kranchuk is a guy, I see Matt all the time. One of the really... another guy that I think is a great guy to get to see. So, it's a long list of people that fall into this as well. So, and this also goes back to, obviously, we were talking about Alan Tsimitas. And Alan was out of practice this spring and taking in what was going on there. Things that maybe he can apply and look at as to what he can do with his job. Next half hour, we'll talk with Alan Beswick. Alan, unfortunately, is part of the cut, along with Dr. Jerry Punch, at ESPN. But he does have the Indy 500 to call one more time. And he'll do that this weekend. We'll talk to him about the race. I'm not going to really get into too much with him as to, what's going to happen with his future. He has to be excited about calling the race. It's a great moment, marquee moment, maybe this time they'll have a winner that somebody outside of gasoline alley's heard of.
One thing I will say about Alan, out of all the people that were, that felt the sting of the cuts last month at ESPN, Alan was one of the most humble, most appreciative. And left a very long statement on his on his Twitter page as to just how appreciative he was of the time, and not just motor racing, but football and all the other sports that he had the pleasure to do while with the network.
Did the Tax Slayer Bowl when Penn State played Georgia? He did that game, as a matter of fact. So we will have him on in the next half hour, and then Tony Knopp, who ruins the Suits' day by talking about the business of sports, that money is involved.
Yeah, he will not be sitting across from you at 4:35.
No, he will not.
No.
Scott Dixon, by the way, Chip Ganassi has made it very plain. There will be no Taco Bell sponsorship on the car after the incident the other night.
Suit will no longer eat there.
Oh, I know the Suit won't. It's funny because we all came in with like chalupas and everything today, and Sarah was over there saying, "Yo quiero Taco Bell," and he just turned and walked away.
Love that little dog. Miss him in the commercials.
Oh, the little dog, great.
Oh, man.
But that's okay. The suit recovered quickly. He had these, like, double patty burgers, special sauce.
Lettuce.
Cheese.
Pickles.
Onions. All of the Sesame Seed bun.
Timing is everything, especially when you're in the building.
Oh, does this mean we're not getting any Taco Bell sponsorships?
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.